Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Thursday in A-Shine. Always get involved with the program by texting in 713-572-4610. We're also on YouTube and Twitch. And you guys are getting involved. Alex on the YouTube said the problem is when it comes to getting in at NRG Stadium for home games, line moves very slow at NRG. They need to open the gate early. I've been in line waiting for up to 45 minutes for the gates to open. So
now what part is taking long as far as the line? Because I know they got a special type of metal detector where you could just walk right through.
Yeah.
You ain't got to take everything out your pockets and wind down and all that stuff. So they made that part easier. So I'm kind of curious.
I think he's talking, maybe he can
generally trying to get in the stadium.
Like Bud Plaza and all that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Just to get in, or maybe even getting into the stadium as in tailgating, which is 4 hours is fine. I know some people would rather get there earlier, but 4 hours is fine. Or is he talking about the actual gates? Because the gates, I've never really had any issue.
Okay. Yeah. I would say the metal detectors, about as easy as easier than TSA. Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just walk right through. They made it a lot easier as far as that.
Yeah, that's the part that I can't speak to. I have not had the experience of that. So, I just wanted to make sure I was covering all of that. But someone else tried to add on to the fireworks thing, if you didn't hear us earlier, talking about the fact that if you haven't noticed at NRG Stadium, they're using fireworks. It's a real big boom. An hour before, I believe 30 minutes before as well, to kind of let people know, hey, let's get into the stadium. Somebody kind of threw up the idea. Maybe you also do different colors to signify the different time, you know?
Well, maybe. I think a little audio system, you know, would be good. Hey, this is CJ Stroud. We got 1 hour to kick off. You know, something like that.
They should have like some type of, not a real fire alarm, but like some type of, like Texans fans, time to go in.
Because the fireworks, some people don't even know what it means.
Right. Which is one of the reasons why we wanted to make sure to let you know. All right. We're getting ready for Bills week. Week 5, Bills coming to town. They will be at NRG Stadium, noon kickoff. And we were looking at the coverage map when it comes down to it. CBS in a lot of the country will have this particular game at noon with the Bills and the Texans. So this one is going to be one that is not technically a prime time game, but it's going to be one that is as close as you can get. A lot of parts of the country are going to have the opportunity to watch this game. And so within that, let's get into what D'Amico Ryan, CJ Stroud are looking forward to and talking about with this game. And of course, the big storyline that's been existing, led into a big long form article from ESPN and all these things, is revenge game. Stephon Diggs playing his last team. And D'Amico Ryan was asked specifically about NFL players facing their old teams. Obviously with the Diggs and the Bills this Sunday.
I think it's always for that player. It's always in the back of your mind where it's a big deal when you play your former team, because it's a little added weight where you really want to beat your team. But you know, it doesn't change our preparation and how we go about our business on a week to week basis. It's a matter of guys just going out and we have to play together. We have to play as a team. We have to play clean football versus Buffalo for us to have a chance to win this game.
It's about as good an answer as you can get. I mean, you heard something similar from Andy Kalu earlier when he joined us about an hour ago. I don't think it's generally like, I want to beat those guys so bad. It's like what they're talking about. You know, I know those guys. I want to win. I want to show them what I am, et cetera. But, all that being said, I think it's a little bit more of a revenge, actual, quote, revenge type game for Stephon, just because of what's been said and maybe what's been said since he's left, depending on how you read Josh Allen's comment.
Yeah. Although Josh Allen, I believe yesterday,
He tried to clarify,
and you do wonder how much that's like, I don't know, cleaning up. But I mean, he said that he always has a lot of love for Stephon Diggs. And, you know, obviously he's very appreciative of what he Stephon did for Josh Allen's career. And you can't cut that any other way.
Yeah.
Josh Allen was not a good quarterback. And then Stephon Diggs got there and he started becoming a very good quarterback in this league. Now he's a quarterback to be contended with in this league, and we'll get more about that as we continue hearing D'Amico. But D'Amico was actually also asked about a thing that is a frustration for all of this, and I really just wanted to play this to get a temperature and a gauge on how important it feels. Not to say that this would be the end all be all, but how important it feels to the head coach. He was asked about the offensive line struggles of this Texans team.
Like you said earlier, you started with the question, not making excuses for our offensive line. It's been, you know, up and down. It hasn't been, you know, all good, and that's part of the season, right? It's part of that first month of the season. You're finding your way, and you're not playing your best ball when you first start, but it's a matter of getting better throughout the season. And that game last week versus the Jags, I saw our O-line take a tremendous step toward getting better. Great job with the protections, giving CJ time to make those plays down the field to Nico. So I see progression. I see our offensive line getting better, and they'll continue to get better as the season goes on. So I'm proud of the work that they're putting in, right, to dial in on the preparation, to dial in on getting better each and every week. So we'll see that continue to trend in the right direction.
Good for D'Amico to have his offensive lines back, but I think most people didn't see that. He's on the inside. He might see great progression. Did you see great progression? Figgy, did you see great progression? Great?
I saw some progression. Great, I don't know, is it?
Yeah, as I was about to say, there. It was bad the week before.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I wouldn't say great. But
good for him for having his lines back. All I'm saying is, we're sitting here talking about an hour and a half ago, about, like, you know, where would you bet that the Texans make the most progress over the course of the next few weeks? I think offensive line for all of us was at the bottom of the list.
Yeah, I was definitely down there. I haven't felt great about them, and it's been evidenced by you've seen some of these players on this line kind of go backwards when it comes to not just literally on a play when they're getting moved into CJ Stroud's lap, but also just in their play overall. This game, I think, represents an opportunity, not as a full bounce back, but as an opportunity to maybe get right in some ways, because this Bills pass rush has not been all that great necessarily in applying pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the run defense, like if you let the advanced metric of EPA let you tell you something, when teams run the football, they have the third highest expected points added per rush attempt against the Bills of any team in the NFL. So, like, there is an opportunity here. Is this a great running team? Absolutely not. But I do wonder, this might be the opportunity to see it get as good as possible, especially with the likes of Joe Mixon maybe being back in the course of this week. So, yeah, like they need to progress in a big way. And if they're not showing a level of progress this week, I do have some real questions.
By the way, you mentioned the offensive line and Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon is not practicing today. So not a great sign. Didn't practice yesterday. Didn't practice today. Is not practicing today. Laremy Tunsil, on the other hand, is practicing. This is according to Jonathan Alexander.
Okay, so the ankle is good enough to go today?
Ankle is good enough to go today for Laremy Tunsil. But Joe Mixon not practicing.
It might be another Cam Akers day. Although,
where the hell is Damian Pierce?
He was at practice, but he was not participating in practice yesterday. So, yeah.
I like when Figgy gets all, hey, where the hell is Damian?
No, but man of the people, right? That's the voice. There's a lot of people asking that, right? Yeah. But yeah, that's wild, especially since Joe Mixon practiced on Friday, that we have 2 days now this week where he's not practicing.
Damian Pierce, not practicing, according to Aaron Wilson. So, yeah. I mean, you got Tank Dell is practicing. Laremy Tunsil is practicing. And Jimmy Ward not practicing, Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce.
They might as well scrap the running plays at this point, man. Let's just air it out. Let's play Madden.
I think there's going to be a lot of that. I think there's going to be a lot of that.
All right, within this, when it comes to the running game, how 1 to 10, real simple. Feelings or like confidence that Joe Mixon plays against the Bills?
5? 50-50?
I'm a say 40%.
Okay.
You?
I was going to say, I want to say 6, but like he hadn't practiced the first 2 days, days of practice, and we're now in the same place that we were last week. Even when he did practice on Friday, all of a sudden we got the okey-doke on Sunday where he did not go. So I guess I probably am, that's too optimistic at 6. I probably need to bring that back down to 50-50, which is interesting because I think when it comes to the possibility of the run game bouncing back into a more positive thing is probably largely dependent on getting Joe Mixon in the run game and having his opportunity to be give his individual brilliance as well, lending that to the game. Someone did mention when it came to the good progression on the offensive line, there was more time to throw for CJ Stroud, and there was.
Mm-hmm.
I think that for us, and maybe we're just hanging on to like instances, individual instances that maybe weigh heavily in our imagination. But there was definitely still, with that time to throw, dudes in his lap where CJ was having to move around. Now, maybe we're nitpicking. Maybe we're being a little too tough in that way. But it still feels like.
I don't think so. I know what I saw, you know, and that was CJ Stroud extending plays, making great plays. Kenyon Green got pushed back a couple times. Laremy Tunsil had some holds. Shaq Mason wasn't, you know, he's a consistently solid player, but he wasn't great. Titus Howard, you know, we gave the PFF grades yesterday. He had a good overall grade, but he gave up, was it 12 pressures, 10 pressures, something like that? I mean, I admire and I'm glad that D'Amico has his back and has their confidence, but I know what I saw.
All right. So with that being the case, I kind of want to get to the defense here, because obviously you have another one of those elite quarterbacks coming in. There's people looking at him as potentially the MVP early on in this season, and that's Josh Allen with this offense. But he's done even better with the pairing of him and Joe Brady. So D'Amico was asked about what the Bills have been able to accomplish with Joe Brady calling plays.
I've seen Joe do a really great job of just managing the game and working well. They worked well together as a team. The way their defense is structured, the way they play, they eliminate the explosives, they make you earn it. Offense, you can see they do a good job of staying on schedule and staying on the field, right? It's whether it's running the ball, they've been successful. Their offensive line, really big O-line, that do a great job of moving the defensive line, so they have a lot of space that they create. And Joe has done a great job just staying on schedule, and the quarterback takes what's there. Like, they're not making mistakes. And that's the thing that sticks out about this team. Like, they're not beating themselves with mistakes. They're playing clean football. They're playing disciplined football.
You can hear the coaching point leap right in, right out at the end of that. Mm-hmm. Not making mistakes. I think that points to just how important it's going to be for the Texans to also not make mistakes, to give themselves a level playing field and an opportunity to win this game.
You heard the same thing I thought. I heard. He wasn't just talking to us.
Yeah, he was coaching through the media in that instance. We've heard him negotiating through the media.
He was talking to his own fellas right there. And let's keep in mind, you know, the Bills, you know, the most recent thing that happened was not good. But boy, they were good before that for 3 weeks.
Yeah, the first 3 weeks. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if that trend continues when it comes to, you saw the Ravens really make it tough on them. And one of the things that the Ravens did not do was not play a lot of man, right?
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the Bills have done a good job of tearing up man when it came to that, that first 3 weeks of the season. And when it came to the Ravens, they made it real tough, real, real tough on these Bills when it came to them playing man, although they did not throw a lot of man at this team. 4 for 10, Josh Allen, with only 32 yards against the Ravens. Now, the Ravens are very particular in the way that they play defense, but I think that this Texans team has the capability of playing good defense. They haven't necessarily strung it all together, and I do wonder, do you see zone? Do you see man? How do you see them attack what has been early on a really good defense, or offense rather, and one that's been pretty disciplined, getting the ball out early, letting the talented players, the shifty players, use their speed to go ahead and attack a defense. So rallying, swarming to the football is going to be important, and I'm interested to see just how Matt Burke and D'Amico Ryan's plan of attack is against.
Yeah, sometimes you don't overthink it. You know, they were just a juggernaut, scoring 30 something and 30 something and 40 something in their first three games, and then they struggled against the Ravens. If I'm Matt Burke and D'Amico Ryans, I ain't trying to get too cute. I'm gonna do exactly what the Ravens did.
Okay.
Until they can beat it, especially with your DBs, which are obviously good, you know, on the corners, but maybe somewhat of a question at the nickel and at safety. I'm gonna do what they did. I want what they're having.
But can they do what they did?
Right.
Just run the damn ball.
Well, that's the other side.
You got an advantageous game script.
Yeah.
Right. You heard D'Amico mention that early on in that clip that we just played. Like, the advantageous game script is what's going to help. And I do wonder, because Ocho mentioned this on the text line, and I think that this is an interesting point. D'Amico basically called Josh Allen a game manager, which is actually quite a measure of respect. Particularly, I mean, just in general in this league at this point, is like being able to manage the football game is something where you're seeing tough quarterback play, and especially with the too high shell. We've talked a lot about that just generally in football, how you have to decide to just be content with the easy answers and go ahead and do the right thing every play to move, matriculate down the field. Josh Allen does not, at least the proto early Josh Allen, did not profile as that kind of player. So the amount of growth that it's taken to get him there has been good. But I wonder if you have a game script that puts them in a bad situation, and you're playing defense maybe similar to the Ravens, or at least applying the pressure that can be applied, can you force him into what I like to call Bozo Josh Allen? Like, yeah, to unveil what is that Bozo gene where now he's trying to do this thing where he's throwing the football downfield or doing stupid stuff. Like, can you push him to that place and move him out of the mature quarterback space that he's gotten into? I don't know if it's possible. Maybe he has grown beyond that. But it'd be great if you can get the game script and if you can play defense in such a way where you can maybe tease that
you
out.
You just used the word that I was going to use. I guarantee you, D'Amico Ryans, Ocho, I guarantee you that D'Amico doesn't think he's a game manager. I think what D'Amico is saying is what he likes to get out of C.J. Stroud. You know, be great, be awesome, carry the team, but don't be stupid. You know, don't make the stupid play. And that's the maturity that you're talking about there. The maturity of Josh Allen is what he's complimenting.
All right, so I kind of want to hear from the quarterback on this Bills team as well. But let's talk about the Bills defense right here. CJ, what makes the Bills defense so effective?
Just their ability to bend, not break. You know, like, they don't really give up big plays. They have some guys who play their system very well. I know they're dealing with some injuries. But, you know, Ed Oliver jumps out on film. Vaughn jumps out on film. 50 jumps out on film. Like, the backers play really good in the pass game. I think his name 31 Rasul or Russell. Great DB, takes the ball away a lot. Got a lot of respect for him. And then DeMar is playing really good ball as well. So got some key components on that side, and definitely got some playmakers. So, you know, got to be able to take care of the ball and, you know, be able to, you know, just move the ball and score points.
Yeah. I mean,
no, number 31 go has a bulleton board material.
Russell Douglas.
Oh, you don't know my name?
Oh, you going to know who I am?
You
going to
know who I am.
But yeah, this is where Von Miller not being available for them, Taylor Rapp, like, they've got to be able to take advantage of that because, again, he's right. Like, that's a defense that does a good job of not allowing big plays and kind of corralling. They are a little susceptible on the run, so it'll be interesting to see also if they're able to utilize run game. But yeah, CJ's right, man. They're going to have to be on schedule and handle their business, and hopefully they can do those things to help the defense as well. Mm-hmm. Man, this is going to be a fun game. Texans-Bills coming up noon on Sunday. You'll hear that right here on Sports Radio 610. We'll hear a little bit more from both of those gentlemen as we continue on in the program. But we're coming up on that time in the loop where it's time to get our lunchtime confessions, and we will do that next on Sports Radio 610.